Heavenly Father, we pray that as we listen to your word, we may hear you speak to each one of us this morning. We pray that we may acknowledge your presence and your grace to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do be seated. I think there's a clue in both those readings this morning about the topic for today. And if you have been with us for the last 3 weeks, then you'll perhaps have seen the progression. For those of you who are here, perhaps having not been before, we've been looking at giving and receiving, about our response to healthy relationships, one with another, and of course, with God. We looked on our harvest thanksgiving at God's gift to us in nature and in the resources that he provides for us. And we particularly celebrated the animal creation with the two dogs that we had in church that morning. And last week we gave thanks for God's gift in new life as we had the baptism of Martha and Lauren. A thanksgiving not just for the new physical life, but a thanksgiving through the sacrament of baptism for the beginning of that new spiritual life. Perhaps I can summarize it by saying we've been looking at God's generosity to us. And to us, and that is special gift that he has given us in Jesus, who he gave to die for us, to redeem us from our sins. Now, giving, I think, can take both a conditional and an unconditional form. Perhaps if you participate in Secret Santa in your office environment, then in a sense you give expecting to receive something. We give in our taxes to contribute to the common good, and we get back from the government the aids that are necessary for our daily living to support us and provide the infrastructure. And then, even at Christmas, we share that joy and delight in giving and receiving together. But there is also that unconditional generosity, that free giving, perhaps to someone in need who we might see in the street, who is in need. It's that generosity without restraint. And I suppose the story that springs to mind from the Bible would, of course, be that of the parable of the Good Samaritan, who showed mercy to someone that he didn't see, and indeed was his enemy because of the different beliefs that the Samaritan held to the Jews. And it's how we respond to the beggar on the street. It's how we would have responded to that strange report, and you never quite know what you read in the papers, about McDonald's refusing to give water to somebody off the street, and there was a clubber's generous response in paying for her meal. So, what we're talking about is our unconditional response to God's generosity to us. And God's given us his gifts for a purpose, which we need to put to use within our lives and within the lives of our community, not to be stored up. And you might think of the story of the rich man who wanted to store up all his wealth, and he built bigger barns. And of course, he died that night and saw no benefit of all that he had created around him. He kept the treasure for himself. And what Jesus is encouraging us in that parable is to give of what we have for others, to give to God. He talks about us being rich toward God. And there are different circumstances in which we are asked to give. In our first reading this morning, Paul was talking about that regular planned giving, the Sunday collection. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside and save whatever extra you earn. And it's not haphazard, it's not just for special occasions, it's planned and it's proportionate to what we can give. Everyone is encouraged to give of what they are able. And then there's the spontaneous giving. There's that response to immediate need. And that's the second reading. Whenever you give alms, whenever you see that beggar in the street, don't make a song and dance about it, but give. And today we have a couple of buckets out, perhaps for our spontaneous response to the tragedy in Haiti, with the devastation and the loss of life that's taken place there with Hurricane Matthew, as it's torn through the Caribbean. So, and the third response is that extravagant one. And if I may, I'll read a short third reading for this morning from Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." And that is extravagant giving. So the generosity that as Christians we are invited to participate in is that free and liberal bestowal of all that God has blessed us with. And we're to be motivated by the Spirit within us. It strikes me that one of the fruit of the Spirit is indeed generosity. And therefore that should be something that we see growing within us as a fruit of our faith, to meet the needs as they arise, whatever they are. And the characteristics of that Christian generosity is summarized in Jesus' new commandment to us to love one another. Because by loving one another, we are putting others before ourselves. It's demonstrated perhaps by our self-denial of things that we have, of possessions or status, and saying, "I could put those to better use." It perhaps is a self-sacrifice of our own satisfaction for the sake of others. And it's to be ungrudgingly, because God has given us that model of his ungrudging gifts to us. And it's important for us not to be complacent. For while we may think we are in a good place, we could be in a better place by sharing what God has given us. Mother Teresa has said, "Let us not be satisfied with just giving money. Money is not enough. Money can be got, but they, the other, need your hearts to love them. So spread your love everywhere you go." So, what are the needs that we have, as here, as Christians at St. Bartholomew's? There are the charitable interests, and the bucket collection is a mark of that. There's fundraising for projects, and there's been a fantastic response in this community for the major works that have been done in this church. The relaying of the floor some years ago, the new West End there. A tribute to your giving, and thank you for that. Because it's important to keep our church building fit for purpose, that we can, as God's people, God's church, meet here. And then there's the regular giving for planned commitments. Each of us in our daily lives, I'm sure, tries to keep to a budget. And so too in our church do we. We have our maintenance of the fabric. We have our utility bills to meet. We have our outreach into community, the cost of providing pastoral and evangelical outreach. And we have the parish share, which we are asked to make to the diocese. And I'll speak a little more about that. Because it is, as if you have a look after the service at the chart on the screen there, on the board, the parish share that we're asked to contribute is a major part of our expenditure. But it goes out to contribute to mission and ministry, not just in the diocese, but nationally. It's a vital support to pay clergy stipends, at the cost of the rectories, training and support for mission. It is a necessary cost to support God's work in his world. And our attitude in response to those needs is, I pray, that we will be thankful in remembering what God has done. That it may be sacrificial in giving up something that I enjoy to find funds for the benefit of others. That it may be a regular giving out of my budget to the church. That I might make it proportionate to my disposable income. We will not all give the same. We cannot be expected to. We're not. But we are thankful for what is given. And it's to be cheerful. We've had this text over the last few weeks. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I now come to the Micawber moment that you've all been waiting for. What is this all about? It is a review of our giving to the work of the church, because currently our church income does not meet our expenditure. I've invited Steve to speak a little about this from his own experience of the church here. But we have a shortfall, and we need to find ways in our heart, in our prayer, to meet that shortfall. There are letters for everybody in the church on the table, and I invite you at the end of the service, please, to take those. There's a letter from me and from David. There is a leaflet that explains about the parish share scheme, and I know it's a big issue for a lot of us, and the blow-ups are of that leaflet. And then if you are able to respond, there are some standing order and gift aid forms for you to confirm what you're able to do. So please take those and pray over them. And as I invite Steve to come up and speak to us here, let me finish with a quote from John Wesley. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen. Steve.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. The view is good from here. When I'm leading into sessions, I just get to see the backs of people's heads. And I must say, this is a much better view. For me, at least, anyway. So, I'm a member of the PCC, and I've been asked, particularly by the wardens, by the rector, by our treasurer, to say something about our giving. And to try and maintain my reputation for brevity as well. So just three short things that I'd like to say. First about St. Bartholomew's, the second about the nature of giving, and then the third about the challenge in front of us. So first of all about St. Bartholomew's, and we're a small village church. You will see churches like this up and down the country. But when you go into some of those churches, you'll find maybe two or three people trying to do everything. You come in here and you find what seems to me like an army of volunteers. You're greeted at the door. We have a volunteer singing group, volunteers to take the Sunday school. Obviously, there's the pastoral work, cradle roll secretary. People make you coffee. It goes on and on. There's a large number of people who do a lot, and it's not just for the church. I know that those same people are doing a lot in the community, sometimes formally through the street cafe, through street pastors, but often it's helping neighbors with young children or helping neighbors who are elderly and can't get to the shops. So, and then I talk to people about what they do in their jobs and or have done in their jobs in the past, And it makes me realize that the influence of this church is really quite remarkable. It spreads far and wide. And so to me, St. Bartholomew's has always felt like a very remarkable church, and one that, frankly, I've always been proud to be a member of. I am proud to be a member of, and I think a number of you feel the same. The second point is that it's supported by our giving. We all know that. It's supported by what we give in the collection plates. It's supported by envelopes and by standing orders in particular. So it is our giving that supports St. Bartholomew's. That is very personal, and it's private. Nobody knows what we give, with the exception of the treasurer, who does a terrific job and is very busy making sure we meet all our commitments. It's private, it's personal, it's right that should be the case, because nobody knows what our commitments are, what our commitments to other charities are, what our commitments to our families, friends and relatives. So it's absolutely right that it should be private and it should be personal, and that nobody else should judge you on that. That's the nature of giving. So St. Bartholomew's is a remarkable church. It is supported by our giving. And as you've heard, as the PCC have been talking about for a long time, our giving is not enough to meet our commitments. During the period when we were without a vicar, without a rector, we fell £10,000 short in our ability to meet all our commitments. So the impact of that was that we were not able to meet our parish share, and other churches around the area, around Witney and the area, made up that difference for us. And that is that. That's okay. Everybody understands that during that period of without a rector, that something like that would happen. But this year, we're in the same situation, and next year we will be again. And so we need to address that. We need to think, can we make up that difference? It's £200 a week of additional giving that we need. It's very tempting, but I think it's wrong to sort of do some basic arithmetic and say, okay, let's say maybe there's 60 of us, and if everybody gave £3 extra a week, that would enable us to make up that difference. And I think that's wrong, because, or maybe for a couple, that's £6 a week, and there will be people who have commitments we don't know about, and that would be asking too much, possibly for some people. And there would be other people for whom that would not be asking enough. And we've heard in the sermon the messages we can take from the Bible about how precious the widow's mite was and how much more is demanded of somebody with property. So I think it's a remarkable church. I know you share that view. It is a church that's supported by our giving. And at the moment, there is a shortfall in our giving of £200 a week. And on behalf of the PCC, I would ask you to think carefully about that, and to think what you can give to help to make that up. Thank you very much for listening.